Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. And opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Everyone, welcome to another edition of BIB Radio. Welcome to another edition of BIB Radio. Today is May 11th, 2017. I am joined here on BIB Radio by my guest, Brother Robert 11X. Robert, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good evening, CC.
Good evening. How are you?
Doing well. And yourself?
I am doing wonderful. Just trying to understand this frequent weather change we're having here in St. Louis, Missouri. But, I mean, I guess everybody around the country is having the same thing. I hear everybody on Facebook saying that they're having bipolar weather, which means, I don't know, it's all over the place. But, nevertheless, today's show is going to be very interesting because, let's see here, we've got a couple different subjects going on. I am doing wonderful, just trying to understand this frequent weather change we're having here. Robert, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you good.
Okay, I just heard some feedback of our last conversation.
Give me just a second. This is Scotty, the audio engineer. We have somebody from Chicago. If you're a guest, please leave yourself unmuted. Or if you're just listening, leave yourself muted. When they're ready to bring you on, they'll unmute you. We were getting that feedback off your line. Thank you, and thank you for tuning in to BIB Radio on Black Talk Radio Network.
Thank you, Scotty. That's actually our guest, but okay. Robin, yes, keep yourself muted until we call you. Thank you for being anxious. But anyway, so May is Mental Health Awareness Month. And, you know, mental health awareness is very important, you know, not in the sense of how, you know, the world puts everything concerning mental health, but we know as black people, we kind of suffer mental health in a different way than everyone else. You know, we've struggled through a whole lot of things. We're still struggling through some things. I mean, between the police killings and mass slavery that our people are still going through. I mean, and just to live out these day-to-day atrocities that we face, you know, seeing the news or whether it be live or whatever. I mean, we just really... you know, what's her name? Doctor, oh Lord, what is her name? I just slipped out of my head. But Joy DeGruy, Dr. Joy DeGruy would say that we are suffering from like a PTSD, you know, similar to what the people suffer when they're getting out of the military or coming from the military, I should say, you know, because we're constantly in a trauma, you know, just dealing with these different different racism. I mean, just daily. I mean, I was listening to a radio program today. The host name is Bob Romantic. Now, I usually like to listen to him because he's angry. I mean, I think, you know, angry people on the radio, you know, add a lot of spice to it or whatever. But this guy, Bob Romantic, he just really irritated me today. He's usually very political, talking about political things locally to St. Louis in Illinois. And he started talking about we're all going through some things, black and white. He was saying how he was not going to sit on here and allow black people to act like things don't happen to white people too. And I was just like, oh my gosh. When he said that, I was like, I'm not listening to Bob Romantic ever again in my life. So he's just going on. And he said he's not a racist. And, you know, when people have to tell you they're not a racist, it's just totally something else. So he goes, I'm not a racist and this and that. If I had been born a black man, I would just make sure that I worked really hard to get to where I need to go. I was like, oh, Lord, there's the pull yourself up by your bootstrap speech. And he's just going on and on. He's like, yeah, we're all just blessed or something. Then he goes, well, I wasn't blessed in, you know, that area that black men are blessed in, if you know what I mean. Now, if that wasn't racism right there, I don't know what is. Is that the only, quote, good thing that you could think of when you say that a black man is blessed in? You're thinking about his darn genitals? I mean, that right there was racist. Like I said, when they say that they're not racist, nine times out of 9.5 times, they are racist, okay? So just listening to that today kind of made me angry. You know, I had to go to work, but I was just really angry thinking about that. First of all, you know, like I said, I like listening to that program, but then for him to say crazy stuff like that, I'm just like, oh my goodness. Like, is there hope for any white people at all? I mean, I guess there is or whatever. But it just, it's irritating on a daily basis to face racism as a black person. So I can't tell you about any other races, but I can tell you as a black person, I mean, from whatever they see as minuscule to somebody being put to death, it's all ridiculous and it's racism. Anyway, that was my rant for that. Robert, how are you tonight?
I'm doing quite well. To add to that, you know, not only deal with racism from the king of racism, white folks, but to also deal with the effect of racism from your own people. You see, So, I mean, that thing is so deep that, I mean, the effect, the trickle-down effect of racism, especially, you know, when you're dealing with black folks in the retail environment, you know, if they think that it's okay, most times when you're dealing with our own in business, that they can treat you a certain way. But when you're very conscious of this thing, racism, you hear it being perpetuated through our people as they deal with you in business, you know, and they think that it's okay. But if you confront them with that, they'll say it has nothing to do with racism.
Right, and that's how they see it, because they have been brainwashed into thinking that we are the world and all things are equal. But, I mean, we clearly have to deal with it every single day, like you said, from our own people. Now, we're not saying that our own people are racist. What Robert said was the effects of racism perpetuated onto our people. That's what he said. So let's not get confused.
Right.
Well,
just get the effects of it. So, yeah, I feel you totally on that, you know. And as I said to a guy the other day, in defense of my people, I said, what you are seeing is the hate that hate produced. That's all.
Right, right. That's a good point. The hate that hate produced. That sounds like a book. The hate that hate produced. Oh, my goodness.
I didn't invent that. I can't take ownership to that. That is a documentary.
Oh, okay. I knew it was something with a great title, but okay, we'll have to look into that one. Okay, we can go on and on. That's what we do here at BIB Radio. We talk about the things that affect us in our businesses as business people. Racism is definitely one of them, but we must get on to our topics for the night. Again, like I said, well, this is how we started it all. May is Mental Health Awareness. And, of course, we know Sunday is what America calls Mother's Day. So what we're doing is we are uplifting Black women in business. Okay, so this is what our flyer says. It's the Women and Mothers Edition. I didn't want to leave out, you know, women, because some women are, you know, regular women. Women are, you know, they're not mothers or whatever. So just wanted to include everyone. So it says, join us today. And then it says, this episode, we will talk about entrepreneurship, mothers, and mental illness. How do these topics that seem so different tie in together? Listen in and find out. At the top of the hour, I will talk with Miss Chantel Jackson about her entrepreneurial endeavors in teaching the food truck business in community colleges, and also about her successful catering business. We will listen in on her dialogue with Miss Robin Eggleston, who has just purchased a food truck in Chicago, Illinois. And then the next hour, we'll be talking to Miss Keisha Makiba of Moments for Change, LLC. And she will be talking to us about how she got this business started, what led her into this business, and just all of her future endeavors in helping Black people in mental health. Now, again, we love to highlight people in their businesses, and these three ladies definitely are going to bring a lot to the table today. So make sure that you get out your pad of paper and just get ready to listen, especially with this food truck industry. There's a lot of people that want to get into that, and they just don't know how. Well, we're going to talk to Miss Chantel and Miss Robin and get that ball rolling for you, okay? So let's go ahead and let those ladies on. Let's see. Chantel is here at 253. I know that one. Hello, Chantel. Can you hear me? Chantel, can you hear me?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. How are you?
Good. How you doing? How you doing?
I am wonderful. So I'm going to let on Miss Robin. Miss Robin, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Wonderful. Well, Brother Robert and I would like to thank you ladies for joining us tonight. We are hopeful that this connection between you two will be a great one, because as I understand, Ms. Chantel is an instructor of the food truck business. Why don't you tell us about that, Chantel?
So I developed just basically a boot camp, an 8-week course, and with on my own, presented it to a few different colleges out here in Washington.
Wait, hold on. I'm sorry. Your phone is kind of low.
1 second.
And I've got police sirens. Hold on. There we go.
Okay. Is that better?
That's a little better, yes.
Okay. So, yeah, I developed an 8-week boot camp course. It's only one day a week. And I meet with different people from all aspects of the food industry. Some of them purchase a food truck. Some of them are restaurant owners already. Some of them are people who just have dreams. And I just took my experience of almost every college course that I went through. I was a first graduate of Bates Technical College, How to Start Your Own Food Truck. And I went through a lot of small business entrepreneurship classes, and I just took everything I learned and developed my own program to teach people that were like me, who didn't know what to do but wanted to pursue a food truck dream. And that's how the course came along.
Wow. Okay. So now tell me, what sparked your interest in the food truck industry? Like, were you already cooking or?
Yeah. So my journey started about 6 years ago. I was just working at McDonald's. I was just in the back drive-through. And I just knew I liked food trucks just because I've always been a foodie all my life. And I just like the concept of the fact that you don't have the overhead of starting a restaurant. And so I just went to local food trucks around my area, started talking to them, and I liked the food that they were dishing out, and I just knew I had a way better product with soul food and Philly cheesesteaks. So that's where it all started.
Okay. Well, see, that now you sparked on something else. You said you like the idea of the food truck because you wouldn't have the overhead of a restaurant. Now, there are a lot of listeners out there who are budding entrepreneurs. They're still putting ideas together. So I know that there are some thinking of starting a restaurant. What are some of the downfalls that you found, or like you said, the overhead? What is the overhead that might cause a problem in owning a restaurant?
Well, owning a restaurant, there's a lot of permitting involved. There's a lot of capital, anywhere from $100,000 plus just to get in a building. Then you have leasing issues you have to deal with. You might have to have contracting. You might find a rental space, but it doesn't match up to your menu as far as kitchen equipment. So then you might have to put new equipment in or paint the walls. It's just it's a lot of overhead when it comes to having a restaurant. Whereas with the food, when it comes to a food truck, it's pretty much just there's one or two ways. You can buy a food truck that was already being used, or you can convert your own, buy a shell of a bus or a truck, and just put the kitchen equipment that you need. And it's like four walls. Like if you have some friends that are contractors and can build a house, well, they could build a food truck. You just have to have the right plumbers. You got to have the right electricians and people that can convert it for you.
Wow. Okay. Well, I mean, either way, it sounds like an exciting endeavor, because if you do buy a shell, then you get to kind of design things the way that you want to, which sounds really fun. Now, you also have, you're doing catering too, right?
Yes, ma'am. I do catering. I have a contract with the Federal Aviation Building. They do air traffic control in Washington, and I was blessed by the opportunity to become their official lunch lady. And as a part of my contract, as long as I have food to sell for them, for the employees that come down for lunch every day, I can use it for either my food truck or my catering business. And so that's the commissary kitchen that I use for my food truck and my catering business.
What a blessing. Goodness gracious.
Yeah.
When did this journey start? Let's kind of track this a little bit. How many years ago?
So about 6 years ago.
Okay. And you've already walked into this kind of contract. That's excellent.
Yeah. I'm a woman of faith.
A lot
of times people will say, you know, you can't overcome something. You don't have the money to start your dreams. But if you're living in alignment and you know what you want to do, matches up with God's plan, everything will open up for you.
There you go. And, you know, I heard something, I think it was yesterday, talking about all of the things that you need concerning like in humans, where they're talking about love and just all these different things. I need to find that. It was some kind of YouTube thing I was listening to. But it's so true, because if you have all the human dynamics that you need around you, then you'll have the support that you need. Like if you have people that love you, they will support you and they will reach out and just basically make it happen for you. I know a lot of times we kind of get discouraged in entrepreneurship because sometimes, you know, we expect our family to support us. We expect our friends to support us. And then it's like complete strangers that support us, which seems like a backwards dynamic, but I mean, it just, that's the way it works. But if you have love around you, then I think that you can make things happen. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, what we want to do is ask you, like, what advice do you have for people if they want to start a food truck? Is there a way for them to reach out to you if they want some help? I mean, are you offering YouTube videos or consultation? How would they talk to you?
You could just shoot me an email. My email is time well spent. Time is spelled like the herb. Time well spent info at gmail.com. and just hit me with any kind of questions you have. And only thing is, I know I'm an expert at Washington's codes and Washington's rules and regulations with the health department. As it goes county to county, or city to city, there may be some differences in rules and regulations on how to start a food truck. But if you would shoot me some information from your city, I'm pretty good at reading the dialogue, and I can explain stuff to you the best way that I can.
Yes, and I'm sure that you are the perfect guide to this type of thing, even if they are in a different city, because anybody can be led to the rules and regulations book or the rules and regulations office. I mean, that's no problem. But, you know, just getting started, to have someone to bounce ideas off of, is very important in entrepreneurship. Robert, do you have some questions for Chantel?
Yes, I do. I heard earlier, first I want to say thank you for coming on the show, sister. And then yes, ma'am, we're happy to have you on. But I heard you say something earlier that I just really thought was really huge, if I'm correct in what I thought I heard, and that is that you started a curriculum from what you learned in school. Is that what you said?
Yes, sir. So when it came to me finding capital for my business, I went through a lot of programs all the way from Tacoma to Seattle to Auburn, pretty much all over Washington State, and they were a whole bunch of boot camp programs, but they never specified in how to start a food truck. They were just an umbrella of courses of how to start a small business. And then I went to Bates Technical College, and it was almost a year course of Culinary 101, and then being in a food truck and how to serve food out of a food truck. But it didn't really quite give you the in-depth of how to start a food truck business. And so I just took all the elements from every course that I've learned, and I developed a program that would help somebody that was like me, that went to a culinary school or went to a food truck program but still didn't have all the missing pieces to be able to start a food truck. And that's how the curriculum came along.
Wow. Well, as a Washingtonian myself, you said you went from Pierce County, King County, Auburn, you were everywhere in between to gather up this information. That is amazing. That is amazing.
That's very, very huge. Very, very huge. Now, so this curriculum that you're offering, how does one actually go about, is it a class? What is it? Is it a YouTube? How does that work?
So right now it is a class. I go to Tacoma Community College in Washington, as well as Highline Community College, every quarter. The next quarter would be in July for summer, and it's a 1-day-a-week class. And the students just come and they hear me talk, listen to my curriculum, get my handout, my slideshows, and I just show them how to start a food truck.
Make sure you say hi to Dr. Cho at TCC.
Yeah.
I salute you, sister, on that. That's
my class,
very big. That's very nice. Go ahead.
But because the program has been taken off, a lot of other colleges have been contacting me to start one at their college. Then they want me to translate it into Spanish, and all kind of opportunities have been falling my way. But I can only do things one step at a time. People contact me about getting an online course, getting YouTube. So it's coming. I just don't want to move too fast before I make some wrong moves. People trying to buy my curriculum.
What degree did you actually get in college? Did you get a teaching degree?
I didn't. The only degree I got was, it wasn't even a degree. I got a food truck certificate, and I got an associate's degree from Tacoma Community College.
And you are actually, wow, that is wonderful.
Yeah, so that's I'm officially, awesome. My title is a continuing education instructor. And that's how they listed me as a teacher with no degree.
She is a teacher without a degree. Look at the favor that she has gotten, and she is reputable. Other colleges are wanting her because of what she has put together, because of her resilience in this whole thing. She is an instructor and did not receive a bachelor's or any kind of other degree like that, and she's already an instructor. That, now that alone, that is wonderful, I'm telling you. Wow.
So when you are a person that actually has the information, the correct information, and you know how to package that, I say this all the time to people, not to discourage anybody from going to college or anything like that, but if you have the actual information itself, if you know how to speak the language, if you have, and most times, if you have the experience, knowledge of the industry, that qualifies you more than just having the book theory or those letters and this, that, and other. And she's living proof of that. And so for that, I salute you. I heard you when you said that. I was like, wait a minute, did she just say she has a curriculum? And that's nothing that you take lightly. So, sister, I definitely, again, thank you for sharing that with us. And hopefully someone that's listening, there's a lot of us out here with expertise in different fields, but you just took it on a whole nother level. So that's very inspiring. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Wow. That's amazing. See, I didn't even know that.
So, yes, just to elaborate on that, if anybody who's interested, yeah, as long as you have a field of interest that you know without a doubt that you can talk about and you can stand in front of people, you can make your own slideshow, just make a curriculum, and you can get into these community colleges. There's a lot of community colleges out there that have continuing education, and you can get in on that, and that's another money that can be in your pocket.
And that's something that also can show people how to do that as well.
Exactly.
No, he's talking about you. You could do that because you've done it. You could actually teach that.
I'm sure people all over the United States, see, with the climate in America economically, this is the non-conventional type of thing that I always speak about. Everything today is not what it used to be and what they told you how it had to be done. Then that's out the window. Today is a new day. It's the day of non-conventional training, non-conventional learning, you know, non-conventional execution. Everything today, the rules are, right now, the rules aren't the same. And they will never go back to being the same. Technology has changed so many different concepts of doing things. And you just, I mean, what you're saying right now falls right in line. So you've opened doors, opportunity. You're teaching how to start these mobile restaurants is what I call them. And in that, even in that, you created another avenue for people. We just got through saying it. Now you can go and teach us how to actually get into the colleges with our expertise, and there's a whole nother stream of income for us. So, man, I mean, this is great.
Wow.
Thank you again.
Yes, thank you, most definitely. Now, Chantel, what we want to do now is invite Robin on, because Robin is here, and I was very impressed by her because she went and actually purchased a food truck bus, and she even surprised her daughter. Now, I don't know how far that went back, like if her daughter even really knew, but what we want to do right now is... we're going to listen to a little bit of what impressed me, if you all don't mind, because I thought it was so cute, and I was like, oh, she has got to be on the show. So let me see if I can pull this up really quick. Let's see here. Of course, they don't want to let me do it, but I'm going to do it anyway. Let's see.
Good afternoon, beautiful. Nice to see you again. This is Sister Keisha with Movements.
Is that the video?
Okay. No, sir, but thank you for trying to help me. No, that's not the video. Hold on. Here it is.
Come follow me. Welcome to Big Mama's Food Truck Day. So, what I'm going to be doing is a docu-series about how we put this food truck together. We're going to rip out all the seats. As you can see, it's a school bus for right now. But a couple of entrepreneurs have asked us to put this together. They were so impressed. So, first and foremost, we want to thank everybody. Every catering event, every vending event, every time you bought a meal from us, every time you gave us advice, we took it into consideration, and we all say thank you. I will cry, but I don't have time to cry because we got a food truck to make. That's what I'm saying. Hey, y'all. How y'all doing?
Okay, that was it. She got a food truck. Robin, welcome to BIB Radio. Let us know about the food truck.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. We decided to purchase, my fiance and I decided to purchase a school bus. He drove school buses for years, so he knows about the maintenance. And he cooks. I cook. So we decided to convert a short cutaway into a food truck. And
yes.
We're going to document
okay.
every step of the way. The good, the bad, and the ugly, that's what I call it.
Now, you sent me over a lot of information yesterday concerning, like, your start in food and that type of thing. I want you to let the listeners know, like, what your background is. You're in Chicago, and we plan on visiting you because we drive to Chicago, like, every week. But we want to know, like, your background. Like, everything that you shared with me last night when I asked you for some bio, why don't you let the listeners know, like, where you come from concerning food?
Well, back in 2012, August of 2012, I made a decision to create Big Mama's Kitchen and Catering. It was to pay homage, actually, to my mom and my grandmother. In the beginning, my beginning years, I wasn't interested in cooking at all, but I'm a late bloomer. So I had my first child at 39 years old. And when it came to finding education for her, it's quite expensive here. They wanted, I want to say, about $800 a month for preschool. And, yeah, I made money to pay bills, but not the education. So what do as African Americans? We figure it out. I began to take the recipes of my mom, and I sold, believe it or not, I called them $5 hollers. You could get five wings, fries, and slaw for $5 on a Friday, or you could get catfish. And I did that for about a month. And in about a month's time, I made about $2,000-$3,000. And so it sparked an idea. I was then, I went to my then CEO and asked, could I sell dinners on Fridays while I was at work? So that's what I did. I prepared salads, jerk chicken salads, jerk salmon salads, Italian beef, chicken, all of that. I prepared that. Got up really, really early in the morning to prep that stuff and get it over to my job, and then I had to work. So in 2014, fast forward, I was laid off. They discontinued my position. And one of the promises I'd made my mother before her transition is that I would return back to college. So I went back to college. At 44 years old, I obtained a hospitality management degree. And I took my business very seriously, and here I am today.
Wow. I am blown away. Robert, I know you have some questions for her.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. How you doing, sister?
I'm wonderful, Rob. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Cece just getting off the hook right now. She know why I'm laughing. But yeah,
she did kind of like bounce it right over to you. She bounced it right over to you.
Probably because she can't talk right now. But nevertheless, I want to thank you as well, sister, for coming on the show, and I want to congratulate you as well for, you know, sharing with us your story, at least that little portion that you shared with us. But I got to tell you both that you all are really inspiring me. One of my life's passions was to be able to cook food and sell it. And I've never done it. I've been in business 23 years, and I love to cook. I love to be in the kitchen cooking. I just have a passion. My grandmother taught me how to make spaghetti, and I used to, man, I could make some of the best spaghetti and hamburgers and this, that, and that. But listening to you guys, the both of you all, is just really, like, inspiring me to just, you know, just go for it and do that, you know. And I'm sitting here thinking, I say, man, if this is inspiring me, I wonder how many people that's listening are inspired by it, because I love entrepreneurship. And anytime I can hear great stories like the two I'm hearing right now, I can shift gears at the drop of a dime, and I'm at that point in my mind, okay, tomorrow I'm going to start cooking and selling some dinners. Like you said, you started at your job, and see, that's inspiring.
No, actually, I started selling them out my back door, believe it or not. I was the neighborhood. I mean, I've always been a hustler. I've always right. owned a candy store. I've always worked a job. You know what I mean? So
right.
I knew how to get money.
And see, now let me, just with what you just said there, say I was a hustler. and so many people hear that word and they think negative of that word. And I frown on that, because a hustler is a state of mind. It ain't something negative. It's a state
it's
of mind.
It's not something negative. It's a state of mind. It's about owning your own.
In order for me to get more done and to do more than what I got to do and to be the best, my hustle got to be strong, you know? So, like you just said, now see, you was at home and you were selling out the back door, or selling out the front door, but you were selling to the community something that you knew you could do, something that you didn't need permission to do. It just, you marked it your God, your natural God abilities, and that turned into a cash flow for you. Then, when I heard you just a few minutes ago, you said something to the degree that while you were at the job, and this is what people need to know, while you're at the job, you should be preparing yourself to make an exodus. Now, sometimes, like in your situation, you didn't have that preparation time, and you wasn't aware, or were you aware that they was going to let you go?
No. They discontinued my area. So my entire department. No notice. What I will say is I had to go to God and ask God, this assignment is over. I understand that. I need to know what is my next assignment. So that's how I feel. I feel like this is an assignment I'm on.
Right, because we never know exactly where we're going to end up, but we have to be on the road.
Exactly.
You know, and you can have our plan, but you never know what God's plan is for us or what other avenues of opportunity is going to pop up, you know. But when I heard you say that about, you know, selling dinners on the job and, you know, those are the type of things that, you know, even if you work a job, this is for the listening audience, even if you work a job, these stories that we're hearing today are very, very inspiring. This woman is working a job, but she's selling to the people on the job, you know, and this is what it takes. So you and your fiancé decide to get this truck. So how did that look?
Well, he, again, was a transporter for seniors. Myself, I do at-home customer service. So together, we took those funds, and we decided that we didn't want any outside help. A lot of times, it's great to have family. It's great to have friends to, you know, chip in. But they want to sometimes bring their ideas as well, and we just didn't want that. So we developed patience. It's very hard to develop patience because you want what you want when you want it. And you have to have faith. You have to be patient. And when it comes to you, it comes to you. We ended up getting it for a great deal. And to me, that is God's way of saying, hey, you're on the right path. This is what I want you to do. I'll make a way for you to receive any and everything you need.
Wow. That is excellent. Well, again, you know, we so appreciate your story, and we want to follow you through the whole experience of putting it together. Now, what I want to know is, how is your daughter taking in entrepreneurship? Are you teaching her at an early age to be an entrepreneur?
Yes, I am. At 7 years old, she cuts peppers. She peels potatoes. I am a caterer as well. So we still have a business to run. You know, she looks at it as it's a lot, but mommy's doing it, you know.
Yeah, well, and you tell her we're doing it. We're doing it together. It's a family business, honey. You learn that now. Well,
what I want her to understand is that you don't have to put on a suit and work for a corporation. You can be that corporation.
Yes, you are the corporation. You absolutely. Now, what I want to do now is we still have Chantel on the line, and you guys are food truck sisters. So
yes,
I want to have this open conversation before us so that our listeners can receive all that they need from the both of you. So I want to introduce Miss Chantel to Miss Robin.
How you doing, Chantel?
Hello, hello. Congratulations. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. One of the questions that I would most want to know is, what were the ups and downs that you found? Like, what were the things that stood out the most that I should pay attention to?
Let me see. Ups and downs.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about what I've so far gone through. So today we went for the transferring of the title. I was told that I could not move that school bus until I ripped everything off of it that says school bus. I have to get it painted. This is even before I transfer the title over. So these are some of the things that I want to know. Did you experience that? Because, you know, people need to know that when they're purchasing transit buses, school buses, things of that nature.
No, I didn't experience that. I experienced, like, I had a food truck. My season is actual food trucks and trailers. So I've never really come across people that have bought buses before.
Okay.
But that's a whole different avenue I don't really know about, but I need to get into that. But with trailers and food trucks, it's pretty much like a vehicle. With the shelves, most of the time people just already get it as a car, and then they just transfer the title over as if you're just buying another vehicle. So I don't know if it's a Chicago thing, if they wanted you to transfer over the title like that.
Could be. But it's something also, you guys, for your listeners to know that, you know, definitely investigate, research, you know, that information. It's great to know.
Right. I would suggest that, too, because like Chantel was saying, you know, things differ. And so let's just say I go to a place where they're wholesaling old school buses. Before I get into that good, I might want to contact the regulation people, whoever they are, and find out, okay, and you have to get it in writing. Don't just talk to somebody. Get it in writing, you know, saying that this is okay. Because you could talk to Becky Sue, who just started on the job, and be like, oh, yeah, you could buy that. That'd make a great food truck, and you might have a wonderful conversation with her. But then next thing, you got some other woman or some man, And they're like, wait, I don't know why you bought that. You should have called us because A, B, and C, we would have never let you do this. We would have told you not to do that. So you have to make sure that you get things that are verifiable in writing, an email, something you could pull up online or whatever. You have to have that stuff in writing.
Yes, so check your state and local city regulations. That's something that I suggest. But, I mean, you know, it, like I said, every I take it as every lesson is what is needed to be successful.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Whatever you're learning is for the betterment of somebody else that you will be teaching.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can I ask, what I know one of you all is in Chicago, and the other one is in what other state?
Seattle, Washington. Well, no, she's in Auburn, Washington.
Okay, Auburn, yeah. So definitely those state laws would definitely more than likely be different from, you know, the state to state, you know. And for the listening audience, you know, it's just good to check in with somebody that's in your state doing what you think you want to be doing. Sometimes I ran across this myself when I first started business. The guy told me the game is to be sold and not to be told, you know, but I wouldn't give up if you run across that type of mindset. Don't give up. Keep on, you know, talking. Keep on asking questions, you know, because somebody is going to be willing to share some information with you that could help you expedite your travel down the road of doing what you want to do, but still do your own research as it comes to the local laws, because when you're eating food, when you're cooking food and serving food, that's a horse of a whole nother different color from selling clothes.
You know, and you know, when you were saying that, I was thinking, you know, sometimes, and when I was younger, I was good at, you know, just winging things and making it happen because I had to. But sometimes you get a little discouraged because you have no one that you can get the information from. Either it's because people are mean-spirited and don't really want to help you, or you've hit other roadblocks and there is no, you find that there is no textbook for this thing. Well, recognize that you may be the textbook being created as you're going through the trouble of dealing with different things. And embrace it. Embrace it, because you'll be able to help other people instead of them having to go through what you went through. I mean, you could even build a business off of that, like we were talking about with Chantel. You could build a business off of teaching people. You know, every day we're given the opportunity to be a teacher. And if you are going through a situation to where there's no real instruction, you are the textbook. Therefore, you are the teacher. So I say embrace that. Now, Robin, do you have
a bit of information that I can share with the both of you ladies that I feel may help you? You know, going forward in the future, if you plan on using box trucks, or I know they use these big box trucks for these a lot of times for these mobile restaurants. You know, that's why I don't know what else to call them, mobile restaurants, but. If you get with somebody locally or know somebody in your city that has a dealer's license, and possibly could actually make you a dealer up under their dealership, then that could cut your cost in getting a more up-to-date vehicle at wholesale dealer's cost. And you can go and buy it for yourself so that you can get, like, for instance, it's 2017 now. If you bought a vehicle at the auction that's 10 years old, you're going to get that vehicle at a really, really low price. If you see that, like, for instance, like a van right now, an 07 Ford van, okay, that would probably sell at the auction for around $4,000 auction price, dealer's price, and maybe a little less than that. But on a lot, you would see that van at around $7,000 to $8,000 for something like a 07 or around that year. So my point is, you can get your vehicles wholesale. You know, spend a little money. If you know somebody that's a dealer, dealers can make you authorized dealers up under them. credit here in St. Louis. I spent $500. I got my own dealer's license. I can go anywhere in the United States and purchase vehicles. So these little things, like, they're not little, but I say they little, these things that I'm mentioning right now could definitely help you in the long term if you want to expand out and you need to go get trucks, more trucks to be able to do that. That's just a bit, some information that I wanted to share with you all so that you are able to do that. And for me, Craigslist is always my friend for vehicles whenever it comes to using buying a vehicle for my company. I always do Craigslist. I've been doing it for years. But now that I got my dealer's license, it's just as sweet. I can go and see many of the vehicles that I need. So you can check with somebody. If you don't know anybody there, then maybe I could be of some help to you guys all the way from St. Louis. See if the guy I got my dealership license can issue the same license for people out of state. So I just wanted to share that with you all.
Well, I thank you. I thank you. Any information is always great to me.
And as he was talking, I was thinking, you get your dealership license, you could be a food truck seller. Like, what if that's what you specialize in?
Absolutely. Hey, I'm always thinking ahead. Always thinking ahead.
There you go. Robert, I just sent some information over to you. Would you like to talk about it?
Oh, I thought I heard this thing go ding. Hold on, give me 1 second. I probably would like to talk about it. Okay, see, where are you? You sent some information to me.
You can go to Facebook. Both.
I don't see that.
Okay. Not Facebook, but Messenger. Well, I heard it.
Yeah. Okay. So, oh, yeah, okay. Now, that's another good thing. Well, now, here's something that the both of you all need to know about. It's called the Rome. Maybe you already know, but maybe you don't know. The Mobile Food Expo. October
6th. We do have them in Chicago.
Huh?
We do have them in Chicago.
Oh, okay, good. And as I, this is an expo, okay.
Lots of different topics in this expo. I mean, they take you from, like, wanting to start a food truck business all the way up to, like, people already in the business. I think we're trying to find out where this expo is. Let's see, does it even tell us? I mean, it would be some digging, but I actually just posted on Facebook, so if you all are interested in this Rome,
Oklahoma City,
yep, it's going to be in October. So for those of you that listen to us all the time, you know we are always talking about trade shows and industry trade shows and that type of thing. So if you're interested in doing a food truck business, definitely go to a food truck trade show, and this one is Rome. Again, we're going to put it in Blacks in Business Radio Facebook page, and you can check that out. But if you want to look it up yourself, it's all capital letters, R-O-A-M as in Mary, Rome. Okay, so what I want to do is, because we've got a few minutes left, Keisha is on hold waiting for us. She's our next guest. But let's see. Robin, do you have any more questions for Chantel? I know you guys are going to hook up afterwards. You're going to email her or call her or something like that. And you guys can become Facebook friends because I tagged both of you guys in each other's posts.
Yes, I would love to be Facebook friends. Yeah.
Yes, I need to make this connection so that you guys can totally be, you know, on one accord and just getting things done. Even though you're new at this, Robin, you might be able to help Chantel, vice versa. You know, these kind of connections are so important in our community.
No problem. Most definitely. Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
And I like to keep in contact with all of you guys, especially Rob with the dealership license. He's now sparked another idea.
Right.
Yes, not a problem. I'm actually on the internet right now looking to find out if they have a convention, a trade show in Las Vegas for the food truck industry, which I'm sure there is, and we would definitely post that in BIB Radio, but I know there is a food truck show because Las Vegas is one of the biggest trade show cities in the world, not just in the United States, in the world. So if you wanted to go to a restaurant trade show, they have those in Las Vegas as well. I've already Googled that some time back. But this food truck industry, and now that I'm talking to you guys, I'm going to do a little homework, and hopefully I find that trade show. And once I do, we'll post that in BIB Radio. And the reason why these are so important, if you already attended one in Chicago, you'll know that by attending those shows, you get information as it happens. This is the latest trend in the food truck industry. Here's some latest equipment. This is why it's so important to go to where the top players of your industry meet at maybe once or twice a year so that you can get the most current information or the most current trends or the new way of doing this or that in your industry to keep you relevant in your industry. So we always talk about trade shows on BIB, so definitely I'm going to do a little research and hopefully I come up with something in Las Vegas. I say Las Vegas because it's so cheap to go to Las Vegas. It's not as cheap to go to New York or Atlanta in terms of airfare, hotel, this, that, and other. It's cheaper to go to Las Vegas, and there's lots of reasons why that is, but like I said, I will look for that for you ladies, and you all keep doing what you're doing. I really, really enjoyed you all on the show today.
Perfect. Thank you so much for having me.
Now let's give you ladies some last words real quick before we have to outro you. Of course, you can stay listening to the program, or you can wait for me to send you the link and you can listen to it later. Either way, we'd love to have you. But okay, Chantel, any last words for the listeners?
No. just follow your dreams. Don't let nothing stop you. Keep your eye on your vision, and everything will come to pass. And Robin, you're basically starting from the ground up. So for you to be able to convert your food truck, you'll be able to know how to do it. So one, to teach you how to do it, or boom, start your own, build your own food truck company. You know what I'm saying? You can get like 50 to 150,000, but you know how to do it because you're doing it yourself. So that's a whole other income coming for you. Just hit me up on Facebook. Any questions you may have, menu costing or anything like that, I'll be more than happy to help you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Okay, Robin, last words for you?
Last words for me would be research. Do your research. Chantel spoke about restaurants. A lot of things that I found with restaurants, brick-and-mortar restaurants, financial. You take a risk, theft. You know, there's a lot that goes into just the overhead. It's just a headache to see your vision just go to shreds because of bad business management. So I say do your research. I say go to school, take business management classes. You don't have to get a degree in it. You can get a certification in it, but you need the education.
Absolutely. Well, we want to thank both of you ladies for coming on BIB Radio. You're welcome back at any time to let us know what is going on in your world. But right now, we're going to tell you goodbye. You could sit and wait and listen to the rest of the show or listen to the podcast later, but you're listening to BIB Radio on Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be back after these messages.
Thank you.
Okay.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Alrighty, everyone. Welcome back to BIB Radio again. We are at, let's see, the second year. And again, this is May 11th, 2017. We enjoy those two ladies who are blessed with the food truck endeavor here. So we hope to hear from them later on. Like I said, with Robin, I definitely want to go to her food truck when we go to Chicago. And Chantel, I'll just have to stalk her when I get back to Seattle just to say hi. Because honestly, I've been trying to get her on the show for a long time. But for some reason, people are not getting the Facebook Messenger. Like when you send it, they don't necessarily get it. I had another person just yesterday freaked out because they just got my message. So no big deal. Yeah, we will reach them however we need to reach them. Yes. So, Robert, any last commentary about that before we move on?
Oh, man, I was looking in the on the internet just trying to locate, you know, I'm on a mission, locate these conventions in Las Vegas. But I definitely am inspired, and I really enjoyed the two ladies on the show tonight. And we will do all that we can, ladies, to definitely aid and assist you all in the best way that we can. If you have any questions for any one of us, me or CC, please reach out to us. And although I'm not in the food industry, that doesn't mean anything. There are business questions that you can ask me that I may be able to answer, CC may be able to answer. And if we can't answer those questions for you, we definitely can be of assistance in getting those questions answered to help you find the answer. So thank you all for coming on the show. Really appreciate you. Thank you.
All right. Yes, thank you for coming on. So next up, you know, like I said, we're celebrating women and mothers today for the upcoming holiday that everybody celebrates or whatever. So I just decided to do this show about women and mothers. Next up, we have Sister Keisha, who is going to bring us realness about ourselves. And she is going to talk to us about issues with our mothers and parents. She's going to talk about her own personal experience. I enjoyed my conversation with her in just a little brief interview. I was like, oh my goodness, will you be my therapist? But, you know, nevertheless, she's going to come on and talk to us about her business and what it is that sparked her into doing this business and where she plans on going from here and how we can support her. So I'd like to welcome you, Sister Keisha, to BIB Radio.
Sister Cece, can you hear me?
I absolutely can, loud and clear.
Greetings.
Greetings.
I didn't really.
Robert on the line, too.
Oh, I was just going to say, I heard a brother on this show. I wasn't sure if he was your co-host. I came in on the tail end. I wanted to introduce myself to him.
Yes, he's there.
Yes, ma'am. I'm here.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Wonderful. And you?
I'm very well. I was excited. This show is amazing.
Thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed it, and I can't wait to get into what you're all about and your story so we can get a double dose of goodness today.
All right.
Okay, so Sister Keisha, tell us who you are and what your business is.
Okay, so everyone in the community calls me Sister Keisha. I'm here in South Florida. That's where I'm based. I'm originally from White Plains, New York. And I have an organization called Movements for Change. It's an LLC organization. And I am a therapist. I'm a psychotherapist. I'm a master's level social worker, currently working on my license as a clinical social worker. However, that's just like the paper stuff, you know. I call myself a transformation coach, where I mostly have female clients that I work with, and I call them transformees. I don't like the word client too much, you know. I like to make it very warm and relatable. And basically, it's all about healing inside and out. So addressing trauma, childhood wounds, emotional challenges. A lot of times, you know, we may be stuck emotionally in a place and we just need a little support and guidance to maneuver and get through. And that is basically the kind of support that I offer. I have different mediums of delivering my services. So I work on the macro level in the community where I facilitate large community workshops, and I also provide support groups. So some of my workshops, for example, we have a museum here. It was actually the first black school in South Florida called Old Dillard. And I do like series events where, like, about a year ago I hosted an event called Colorism and Healing, where I screened the documentary that was on the Oprah Winfrey Network called Dark Girls. And then I had a panel discussion where I brought in the community and we had a real heart-to-heart conversation, and I mediated the conversation between the panelists and the community, talking about healing the issues and the wounds surrounding colorism in our community. So what does that look like? You know, skin stuff, right? So a lot of women and men, when we did this in the community, there were over 100 people present. And I had a brother on the panel. And this whole dynamic, he was really, really light, and he could easily have passed for a Caucasian man. And the pain body that he went through growing up in an inner city community where people treated him like he wasn't a part of the community because he was so light. And then the sisters who were there talking about the criticism and the ridicule around being so dark. So just colorism and the pain, the psychological pain. So what I did with that event was I brought in the community, we showed the film, and we had community talk. And with my background as a mental health professional, I was able to navigate the conversation to make it very safe and nurturing. So that's my community work. I do a lot of community talks and mediate. Sometimes I'm in the colleges doing workshops as well. And then I have private groups that are really, really small, like 6 to 7 women. I actually have one support group that I created called Removing the Mask, Finding the True Self, which is targeted for women who are unfolding and really dealing with who they really are on the inside, pain and everything, and helping them. It's a 6-week woman support group. So I have the large community, then I have the small support groups, and then I do the one-on-one individual work. So I do in-home therapy where I actually go to my clients, and then I do the one-on-one and sometimes family work, where those are private sessions. So those are like my three main mediums of delivering, you know, services to the people that I serve, to my community.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, you offer a whole lot, you know, I guess, I don't know, so much. But like you said, you know, you don't want...
a lot.
No, I don't mean it that way, but I
No,
mean...
it is, though.
But just offering the service alone, let's just say you worked in an office, a counseling center or whatever, taking in all of the information, people's stresses and woes and all this stuff, and you're doing it in so many different platforms. How do you decompress all of that information and be all right yourself?
Ooh, okay. So I'm going to give you a little bit of background and how I got to this place and how I learned how to decompose, you know, how to, you know, just take myself down and not really take on all the energy.
Mm-hmm.
I had gotten my degree in 2008, and I was lost. I told you a little bit about my background. I'm sure we'll get into it later, but I really didn't, I was kind of like an autopilot, just doing what I thought I needed to do to be perfect and right. I wasn't fulfilling, like, my destiny path. Like, it wasn't my authentic self, you know? I was like, I was a robot. I mean, you go to school, you get a degree, you make your family happy, you do what they say. But deep down, it was kind of like I was still in the right direction because I knew I was here to help other people heal. So I was happy that I got the master's degree in social work. I was so afraid to go out there and do the real, real work because I had my own pain body that for seven years, I had my master's degree doing, like, just directing programs. I wasn't doing the core work because I really wasn't ready. I really wasn't ready, and I was afraid. I knew that I had my own weight, and when you go into this work with your own bags, you know, that you're carrying, it's real easy to become dependent on the people that you serve for them to fulfill your own sick needs, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then
mm-hmm.
it becomes like a codependent relationship between you and the people you're serving, where you need them to need you. If they don't do what you need them to do, you get mad. There are therapists out there who are unresolved and are doing the work, and it shows up, right? I didn't want to be that person, so I took a step back, And I said, let me just get a job and direct this little program in this little school. And, you know, but it, guess what? I was in such disalignment that it was still hurting me, because I knew. So I couldn't be afraid anymore. You know, I couldn't be afraid. I had to really get into myself and find out, you know, what's really going on. And it was funny because in 2014, I'll never forget, it was January 2014, I was watching Will Smith's movie. I can't remember what the movie is called. I'll never remember the title, but I remember the storyline. It was him and his son, and they were, like, fighting these aliens. Like, not The Pursuit of Happiness.
Okay.
What is that? Yeah, no, alien? Not that one. Everyone, this was his real son. His son, which I know, right, in The Pursuit was his son as well. Yes, he and his son were. I gotta figure something Earth or something like that. And
hold on, wait. I'm gonna find it through Google.
Tell me. Yeah. Yes. Google.
I'm
Google.
Find it. So Will Smith and his son. Not Black. Not Independence Day.
No. No.
I feel like I'm on a show. Let me see. Well, I'm on a show. I'm sorry.
I mean, I'm here asking my husband, what's the name of the movie?
Not
we're going to figure it out.
Earth.
Yes, After Earth. See, I knew you. You know what?
Okay, I've never seen that one. I wonder. I'm just like not even recalling it. Okay, After Earth.
You got to watch After Earth, right? No, okay. That's good. I'm glad you never seen it, because after I tell you the story, you're going to watch it and it's going to make so much sense.
Listen,
so
let me explain something to you. I'm excited just watching your YouTube videos. So, okay, go ahead.
Oh, really? Oh, my gosh, that is so awesome. I'm so happy to hear that. So I was watching the movie. No, this is, like, real crazy. This is some, like, I don't know what to say. I mean, you know how everything is a culmination to who you really need to be?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying that I watched this movie and I had this crazy awakening. I'm saying that I had gone through so many life experiences that journeyed me, that prepared me for this moment, so that when I received the message through the movie, there was like some spiritual interlocking. I don't know what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a scene where his son, there was a monster, and his son was gonna was alone. Something happened to their spaceship and they separated.
Mm-hmm.
And
right,
his son was ended up being alone, but he had the walkie-talkie, so the father was able to, you know, deliver how to handle and maneuver dealing with the monster. And his father, basically, Will Smith, did this wicked monologue where he was like, listen, the monster does not have eyes. He cannot see you. He can only smell your fear and feel your fear. When you conquer yourself, when you learn self-control, when you learn how to manage your own emotions and realize that that fear is just an illusion, you can get through. And he guided him. And let me tell you something. I don't know what happened in that moment, but I was crying hysterically. Because that was my issue, you know. I was so afraid of something that wasn't real, you know. And I went, and the next day, I'll never forget, like, I saw that movie like Thursday night, Friday. I went online and I registered my business. I didn't have a platform. I didn't know what I was going to do. I just knew that I had a name that I had written down like 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And because, you know, again, like I said, it was a culmination. A month prior to me registering my business, I did host a community vision board workshop where there was like 150 people, and, you know, I did this motivational speaking thing, and it was really, really good. And I felt so inspired, like, Keisha, you really have something to offer. Like, what are you really afraid of? So when I saw the movie, it was just a matter of divine order and timing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, little did I know that I was getting prepared for my own independence, like spiritual independence, because I lost my father that same year.
Yes.
So it was kind of like there
that.
Was some kind
yeah.
of there was kind of like some unusual irony that the movie was Will Smith and his son, and he was without his dad, and
mm-hmm.
then here I go 11 months later, my dad passes away, and he was my teacher. He was everything. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of like, you know, there was this, something was going on in the universe with me and the messages that I really needed to get ready to lose him physically.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really, so just to tie into your question about how do I learn to really get in tune and not take on the energies, I'm still balancing that on. That's an ongoing journey for me. However, the base foundation of doing this work and really navigating and staying balanced is knowing that your job is not to fix anyone. None of these people's things, it's not my stuff. Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm not doing the codependency that I would have had at one point when I was so in my pain body. that codependency shifted when I started to learn that I'm not the director of the universe. Like, I'm not doing this work to fix anyone. You know what I mean? That I'm really doing this just as a spiritual guide. Like, when I really found my purpose, and I will say, I can't take all the credit, because I've had some amazing spiritual teachers to help keep me grounded throughout the journey.
Let's name some of those teachers.
Oh, shout out to Yaye Feeney. Y'all got to check her out on Facebook and Instagram. Yaye Feeney, that's just her name, Yeye Feeney. I'm really thankful for her, Yaye Feeney. She's a Yoruba priestess, and she is just an amazing teacher. Nana Ya, she's no longer in the physical realm with us, but in spirit. She was actually, she first brought me into understanding my spiritual self, myself as a cosmic being, and I'm really thankful for her, Nana Ya. I know she's resting well and doing her work. And then my father, Aya Bowers, he was the ultimate teacher. He was the master, you know, and he still is, because he's still creating opportunities for me. In his transition, my life actually took such a major shift in the right direction that I'm like, man, I know he's still working real hard. Some days I have to say to him, relax, daddy, it's time for you to rest, because I know he's working hard to open doors and keep me in my path. So I haven't done it.
I'm sorry. Uh-huh. Let me backtrack a little bit now. You know, it's a big deal when a lady can say that her father was her everything and he was her teacher. Now, we embark upon this thing called Mother's Day, I think you told me part of your journey was that deficit that you had with your own mother. Can you share with our listeners that portion of your life?
Yeah, I have. Absolutely. And, you know, I'm real transparent about it because it's so much a part of my work that I'm doing, you know, that I had to really make peace. And I always say that, you know, someone asked me to sum up life in one word the other day, and I said acceptance. Because if you really could accept what has already happened, it's easier to move forward, you know. But when you're stuck and you're trying to change what's already, so much pain can come up and surround us. But for me, when I was 4 years old, my mom actually, I grew up in New York with my dad. My mom left me in New York with my dad when I was 4 years old. So I grew up with a back and forth relationship. You know, I would travel to Florida to visit my mom and go back to New York to be with my dad and his family. My father was a Rastafarian, Pan-Africanist, just a freedom fighter for, you know, mostly. And so he instilled a sense of self in me. And he, now that he's transitioned and I think back, I always tend to feel like he was really trying to overcompensate because he felt a little guilt about, you know, my mom not being capable of showing up for me the way maybe he thought she should have, or, you know, being a girl. You know, he always told me that he felt a girl should connect to her mom. And when I had gotten a little older and I moved to Florida to be with my mom, that was his way of saying, now it's time for you to, you know, have a relationship. You need to be with your mom. You need to know her. Unfortunately, my mom, she had her own pain, and I was the only daughter that she had of six children. And so if she was angry at herself, she had no one else to project that on, because I was the only other female entity in her life closest to her. So I always say I had a mother who didn't love herself, and so I learned to not love myself. And it happened I didn't get into that reality until I started to become conscious and aware. So for the longest while, it felt like anger and resentment and bitterness towards her, because I really wanted to reclaim what I thought I deserved to have, you know. But then when I really discovered that she had her own pain and that she just never really received, you can't give something that you never received.
Yes, that's
and that, true. It's like taking a stone and asking water to come from the stone, you know.
Yeah.
And that's what's helped me in my healing journey. And I'm still, like, it's still a journey. It's not been easy. It's still difficult because now I'm at the place of understanding my worth and realizing that I actually don't have to stay in the relationship. And that's a whole nother ball game. But how it shaped me for so long was that I had victimized myself. I was a victim. I thought I was entitled. I thought everyone needed to give to me because my mother didn't. and that I needed to victimize myself at all times to regain what I thought I, the love that I had deserved, right? So what does that look like in relationships? You manipulate people. I was manipulative. I knew how to, fiend sickness or tell a sob story just to get someone to feel sorry for me. You know, I knew how to set poor boundaries with folks and be extra, extra nice so they could like me. But then when they did something I didn't like, I knew how to lash out and be mad. And, you know, it was just always my inner child was always very alive. My inner child just always showed up. And the inner child never goes away. Like, but when you start to love that inner child and you really start to nurture it from a space of compassion, it doesn't show up in anger anymore. You know what I mean? So, like, when I'm capable of being loving to someone else, that's me and my inner child showing up and saying, you know what, we got some love going on in here, you know? And so I can look in retrospect and see the growth and how that experience affected me and how I transformed that, you know, today. Yeah.
Well, you're doing a darn good job, because I'm telling you, I'm waiting for more YouTube videos. And, you know, as you are transparent with us and our audience today, you know, we have to be transparent also, Robert and I, because we had this conversation the other day. And it's like, we question, well, is this about business or is it not? No, it is about business, because this is your business. But yes, like Robert was saying, we have to get to the root of our problems, because those things that we go through in life affect our entrepreneurial journey.
Oh,
or
yeah.
Our not-so-journey, you know? So like you were talking about.
You know, Sister
Cece? What is it?
No, the fear that I talked about earlier, like, because I always tell folks, your parents' voice become your voice when you're an adult. So if your parents, like, for me, my mother was verbally abusive. I had, even when she wasn't physically present, that showed up for me all the time. If I stood up for myself, I walked away. So in business, you have to be assertive, right? So if your throat chakra, you know, if that energy force that's around your voice and your neck is not being nurtured, because you remember, being verbally abused, that's being shut down.
Right?
Because you're conditioned to shut up. Right? So in business, let's see how that plays out. You can't ask for what you want. You can't command what you really deserve if you're hindered, if you've been shut up.
That's
right?
True.
So if you don't work through that experience, so that fear that I was telling you that I had to watch a movie to really realize that I was holding my own self back, that was that inner child who was verbally abused. So if I didn't flesh out and work through that pain body and really sit with it, but we're so conditioned to run because we live in a very tangible society where we need to see, like, we need to see results. And if physically things don't look like the way we want, we're conditioned to do what? Push it away or run away from it.
Right.
And in the spirit world, we have to work through that. Right? We have to really sit with it. We have to allow whatever that needs to come up, we have to allow it to come up and see it for us to grow and evolve.
Right.
So it affects how we manage business. It affects how we command abundance and how we move in allowance. Now, if you grew up in a chaotic household where everything was drama induced, you're going to always need chaos in your life.
That's
right?
true. That's
because
what you're used you to.
Because that's what you're used to. And we have these antennas that are invisible that we like to, you know, a lot of times when people tell me about relationships that are falling apart and they keep attracting this kind of person, and it's kind of like, it's not the people. You need this. There's a part of you that is so conditioned to this experience where you self-sabotage and you need folks that can't give you what you deserve. And so you're in relationships that are falling apart. You know what I mean?
Yes,
I do. It affects who we attract in our business.
Exactly. And now if we don't learn to work through these things, however that needs to be, a big thing is we pass it on to our children, you know, just like it was passed down to us. Like if your mom was angry, then she passed angry to you. And you, if you don't learn to work through it, you pass angry to your children. So it is important, like you said, sit with that and get it out.
Yeah.
Fix, you know, fix what you need to fix. Get on with it. Transform, like you said, into what you need to be a better you. And I think you said this in the YouTube. I don't know, because I feel like I've been watching you all day. But
That's awesome.
We're never actually fixed. You're just always evolving into, like, a better part of you, you know, which is so true. Because
absolutely,
what I say is there is no competition for me. I am in competition with myself, which is to be the better me than I was yesterday. You know what I'm saying?
That's awesome. Yeah. And but you know what? I'm glad you touched on that generational connection, though, Cece, because I had the pleasure of opening for Dr. Joy DeGruy a couple of years ago, and sat with her in mentorship for, you know, in that moment, which was amazing. Shouts out to the Fort Lauderdale Community Center. They brought her here, and they asked me to be her opening presenter. I did a presentation on colorism and empowerment, because that's just an area that I'm really passionate about. But she, you know, she reminded me, and she employed me to continue doing research about this, because this is where all her studies are, you know, where all her studies are based on. But she talked about the post-slavery trauma. So I'm so transparent about my story, because I know it ain't just my mama.
Wait, let me stop you. Were you listening to the show earlier? Because I talked about Dr. Joy DeGruy and her saying the PTSD. I just said that before you got on here. You're going to listen to the show. You're going to listen to the show.
I am.
Yes, I'm telling you. I talked about that at the time. Robert, did I not talk about that?
Yes, ma'am.
What? Right. Robert said yes. I didn't know that. I had no clue. But when I heard you say generation... I came in a little later because I was with the babies. You know, we were talking about mom and business. I said, how appropriate. I'm going to get to talk about how I had to do homework before I came on the show.
Oh, no, because, you're absolutely fine. I just wanted to make that connection.
But I'm gonna get to,
we just talked about her. Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to get to listen to it, though, so that's real cool, because she's amazing. And so the understanding that it's not just my mom, that's why it resonates with folks when I talk about it, because if we, you know, we're still healing that pain. You know, DNA recognizes trauma.
You don't
have to experience something to be working through it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have been, I talked about the throat chakra being shut up and shut down emotionally. That was our story.
Mm. Wow.
As a people, we never had a voice.
Mm-hmm.
We never had a language. We never even had our real names. We had no identity.
Nothing.
Nothing. We were just a slave. We were brought down to just a slave. Okay? And that pain body resonates in every aspect of our lives right now as we're living in present day.
Right. Now, let us do this. Now, before we keep moving forward, what I'm going to do is take us into commercial, and then we're going to come back for the last half hour. You're listening to VIP Radio on Black Talk Radio Network. Please support blacktalkmediaproject.org. We're going to go to commercial now.
Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium.
All All right, everyone. Thank you for joining us for the last half hour in BIB Radio. We are here every Thursday at 7 p.m. Standard Time. This is the May 11th show, the one where we are acknowledging mothers and women. And we are talking to Sister Keisha. She is enlightening us on many things, including her own life and what has brought her into this journey of helping our community heal. So, Sister Keisha, you were telling us something before we went to commercial. Go ahead and elaborate.
Were we talking about the PTSD? While you went on commercial,
yes.
People were texting me, asking me, How can I listen?
Are they still trying to listen?
Yes.
Okay, well, remember the flyer on Facebook that I sent to you? Let's see. I can send it to you again in the messenger, and you could just forward it on to them. The phone number's on there, and they can listen to it.
I had it on my Facebook page, too, because you tagged me, which was amazing. So I just told them to go look at that real quick because you were coming back to me just now. So I'm like, I'm on right now. Are you gonna...
Right. Well, I'm going to send it to you anyway, and you can copy it over, and you can put it back
in. It's just simple. Yes. Just go to blacktalkradionetwork.com. You'll see a post for BIB Radio. There's a media player on that post. Or use the big green media player on our website for the station, Black Talk Radio.
Oh, thank you, Scotty.
Thank you. Thank you, Scotty.
Okay. I'm trying to, figure it out. They can just dial in the phone number or go to Uber Conference. Okay, no, just go to Black Talk Radio now. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy because I always tell people that anyway. Just go to the page and you'll be able to hear what's going on.
It's right
there. But nevertheless, it's right there. Okay, so keep on going because we only have a few minutes. Well, not a few minutes, but we got a while left. But I just want everybody to be able to receive from you. I want you to be able to let people know if they can conference with you, if they want to counsel with you online, you know, if that's available. But I definitely want you to be getting all your story out so they can definitely connect with you in a way that they can't. Like me personally, you know, I've been to therapy. I think therapy is great. It's wonderful. I think it just really is helpful. But like you were talking about before, that codependence, it definitely is there. Because the last time I went to a therapist, I ended up counseling him, and it wasn't that like he was patronizing me or just, you know, placating or anything like that. He actually was saying to me, wow, I need to do that. And this, I mean, he was really going through it because I was there talk to him, but I ended up solving his problem right there as I'm laying down on the couch.
Yeah, so. But you know, they have a saying that the therapist needs a therapist. I don't play with that.
Yeah.
I've had my own therapy. You know, I'm currently in search of a new therapist because my therapist retired, and I loved her so much, and then she moved away. You know, like, I don't play. Like, I'm really transparent about that kind of work and breaking down barriers. Right now, the suicide rate in the Black community amongst people of color has gone up. It's 1 in 4.
Mm.
So it's me, you, Robert, and Scotty, right? So
whoa.
The statistics is saying that one of us has had a thought that we should not be in existence at some point in our lives. I'm just saying, I'm breaking it down to how real, how close to home it is.
Mm-hmm.
And has at some point contemplated a thought of how to act it out.
Whoa. That is very close to home. 1 in 4, everybody. Do you know that means there's 4 people standing right beside you or with you, and one person has the thought of committing suicide? Okay?
Precisely. And that's why we have to be a little bit more compassionate. You know, I did a talk the other day at Florida Memorial University here, and I was talking about, they asked me to come and talk about food because, you know, I'm a vegan and I'm heavy into awareness about food and how we feel and the connection. And they had me come, a sister here, she has a radio program, Jill Tracy. Shouts out to Jill Tracy here in Hot 105. But I was on, you know, she had me come out to the college, and I can't talk about just food. I have to talk about emotionality. And I was saying that we have to stop when we see someone that's overweight making remarks or being judgmental about that person, because emotional eating is real. And in our culture, we have maintained a slave diet. how we eat as a people of color, that's not what we came to this country with. We came from Africa eating ground provisions and fruits and vegetables. Chitlins was not a part of our diet. That's a slave diet. So we have to really find compassion in our hearts when we're dealing with each other, because we don't know what someone else is battling.
That's definitely true. And I, you know, I have to really backtrack with that too, because it's not just the diet, but it's also the environment, just the toxic things that we've been exposed to. How many women and even men have a thyroid problem now, you know, and if your thyroid is thrown off, then you're definitely, you know, at risk of being overweight, underweight, heart palpitations, tired. I mean, just all of these things can go out of whack. So,
mood swings.
Yes, mood swings. We have to totally be in tune with that. And we have a hard time being compassionate with one another and our own people. We talk about that in business all for, you know, in this radio show all the time. But I just know that what you're saying is true, and we definitely have to be better toward one another. Robert, you're awfully quiet. Do you have any questions?
Well, I mean, I'm listening. This is very good dialogue, sister. You really, really touching on some points, you know. And I'm just, I have put it like this. I haven't had a show that made me get emotional, and just listening to you, I'm really connecting with you what you're saying, because it's so real. You know, business is, as Cece said, we had this discussion the other day, and for me, business isn't just about making money. That's the benefit of being in business, doing for self. But for me personally, business is so very spiritual. And a lot of people are disconnected from the spiritual side and the spiritual benefits of what entrepreneurship brings to your life. And what you're saying right now about the importance of revisiting your childhood, you said that earlier about how your childhood affects who you are today. I say this all the time, and too many times we don't want to go back and look at our childhood and question how that really truly affects us today as quote-unquote adults, because we're really not adults. Then you mentioned something to me that, not to me, but you said something. You said about your child, your inner child. I went through counseling myself, and as a Muslim, I went through counseling with a white man, and I was young coming into Islam at the time, you know, under the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And so when I came in the gate, I came in the gate fiery, but I was in trouble with the law. And this Caucasian, Joe Picotta is his name. I respect him to this day, because what he said in reference to what you said, he used to always say, "Now, who's talking right now, Robin?" When we would go into dialogue, and I'm all amped up.
And
is that your child or is that your adult talking?
Powerful.
I first started hearing him questioning me. It threw me for a minute. I was like, "What are you talking about?" You know. And he said, your child, the adult in you has to control the child in you.
That's right.
And for me, that was, when I got it, it was like, man, that was such a blessing to actually be able to get counseling and being able to recognize when you're operating out of your child or out of the adult side of you.
Yeah,
and
it's
most
true,
people,
no,
most
the child when it
in
takes
the
over.
Community don't get that.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have that counseling session that we need. Most of us are just existing in the skin that we're in.
Autopilot.
Don't know how to control ourselves. Just go We just go with the flow. However, we watch TV. TV predicts to us how we should act in certain situations. Mm-hmm. If you watch YouTube and some of these people that's fighting in the in the public, it looks like what you see on Housewives of Atlanta and stuff like that. I'm quiet. I was quiet, but I'm like, man, this is a blessing. This is what BIB, Blacks in Business, is all about. If you're in business to just make money, that's not good, because we're in business. Mm-hmm. We are the true leaders of the community. We are the true leaders in the Black community. So we have to be held accountable for what we do, what we say, all of that. Not the musicians, not the rappers, and none of those guys. The Black entrepreneur, because we inspire and we show our people in so many ways how to change their life.
This is
what I'm passionate about. This is a passion. What you're talking about being passionate about is what I'm more passionate about than actually making the dollar, which we're talking about right here. So no, I'm quiet, but I mean, it's really touching home for me, sister. So again, this has been a great show. I just got to say it. It's just been a tremendous show, and every guest that has been on has been very tremendous. And with the information that they have been given, I'm going to definitely go on on YouTube just to see what you're talking about, sister.
All right, and I didn't know I was in company with my Muslim family. Thank you for sharing that. I didn't realize that. I when you said you're a Muslim when you came into the nation, I actually just lost my uncle in September. His name was Prince Buster. He's a reggae singer, but he was a Muslim. He was actually the first person to bring that consciousness into the Caribbean. He was so vocal about being proud to be Black and be Muslim, and you know, and to speak. He called himself the voice of the people, you know, to stand up for equal rights. And I just lost him in September. Yep.
Hey, to hear that. So, it's just, it's so real. I mean, really, you know, this thing is just so real. And I thank Allah all the time for my enlightening experience and my example. Today marks Minister Farrakhan, May 11th.
His birthday.
84 years old, and over 40 years we have a Black man, and this is where I get upset with our people, because we're so foolish. We're so foolish of a people. We always look for the worst in one another. Mm-hmm. Now, here's a man that's 40 years of his life sacrificed, his time, put his life on the line. The government, whenever they decide to come after the Black folks in the real way, it ain't going to be the everyday Black man and woman, I don't believe. They're going to kill, slaughter a lot of us as well. But it's our leaders that they've been taking out. By God's grace, they haven't taken him out. But we're so foolish as a people that we can't even get good out of a person who we have opposition, foolish opposition, not actual facts, but foolish opposition with. And you know, it's not just Minister Farrakhan, it's you too, sis. It could be you. I know it's me, because some people, I don't have nothing ill in my heart for my people but love. So I want to share with them things that I know that can change their life. So instead of sharing Islam word for word, just using those words, I know what they say is mathematics and what mathematics is. So for me, my dialogue for the wide and awake conscious man and woman, when they hear me say, I don't want to talk about nothing but mathematics, the wide and awake conscious man know exactly what I'm talking about, you know. And today I had a conversation with two young women today, and I said, when you really think about God, have you ever thought about mathematics? Because the only thing in this reality that you can't debate is math.
that to me, math is likened to the God. You can't
debate God.
You can't debate mathematics.
That's so a powerful point.
Everything we should do should be centered around mathematics. It's right and correct. Mm-hmm. Isn't it? Isn't mm-hmm. God right and correct? Mm-hmm. So isn't what we're talking about helping our people? That's a part of the mathematical equation to get our people back on the right path. The diet, mm-hmm. that's a part of the mathematical equation. The doing for self, blacks in business, BIB, all of these are mathematical equations to get our people in a better position in life. That's all God. See, so, I'm just listening, Cece. And as I'm listening, I'm going through some things over here, and I'm like, man, I thank God every day when I think about what He has blessed us to be able to do on Black Talk Radio Network. We have a show that bring on guests like the sister and the two sisters that share something with our audience, and what we want our guests to be able to do is to break it all the way down. Like the brothers in the street would get the facts and break it all the way down. We want the word to be broke all the way down so that the man that ain't as educated can get the word and then take it in the simplest form and go out and build a reality based off of something that works good for the college degree person. Give it to the simple man, the smaller guy, or quote unquote the man that's not as learned, let me say it like that. Give him the information to where he can receive it and then change his life. God smiles on stuff like that. So I don't want to go. I can keep on going, but I'm so filled right now, and thank you, sister, for coming on. And I'm going to definitely follow you on YouTube, because Cece was saying earlier when you came on that you was going to be her counselor. I was like, okay, well, I need to know what she's talking about since I got to live with Cece.
Oh my God. Okay.
Everything you said was so powerful, though, because it was, you started scaring me, because I was driving with my husband today, and I started saying to him, but honey, do you realize that mathematics, it literally, like, this is no joke. And then I said to him, I know I sound real spaced out right now, but if you really think about it, our ancestors, the way we built the pyramids, we used the pi, we used the circle, 360. Everything goes around in a full circle. And I was like, and now you're saying this? And I'm like, it feels like that's the frequency that I was channeling, you know? It was powerful.
That's real, though, sister, because that's what I was on mm-hmm. today. You know, talking to mm-hmm. some sisters that are doing things in their industry. One's a real estate agent. One is an insurance agent. And I'm the mm-hmm. oldest person in the room. And I'm listening to both of them talk, and we're just really, really having great dialogue, you know. And mm-hmm. and that spirit just moved on. These my sisters, these... You know, no, when you come in dialogue with me, you're going to meet Brother Robert 11X. That's who you're getting. That's who you're getting. And as I posted today in Facebook, I said, regardless to if I ever say it in public or not, when you meet me, you're meeting the man that's following the example of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Mm-hmm. I may not say it, but... in my mind, every day I wake up, that man is on my mind. He's on my mind. It's the spirit that's in him that makes me move the way I move. You see, so I thank God Almighty that we have a leader here that's teaching us black men and women, whether you listen to him or not. He's inspiring brothers like me who come out of the street, who was doing dirt. You wouldn't have loved me 23, 24, 25 years ago, you wouldn't have loved me. As I expressed to them sisters, I've never heard a man say in my family, I never heard nobody on the block say this, that the womb of a woman is the workshop of God. When I first heard that in 1989, that blew me away. Mm-hmm. I'm selling dope. That blew me away. So today, in the anniversary of the born day or birth anniversary of Minister Farrakhan, I have to say that because that's mm-hmm. who inspires me. That's who I listen to, and I get directions because my father wasn't there. Mm-hmm. So I can look at a video of a man, and he keeps me correct, right, and correcting my thinking off a video. You can say what you want to. That's something divine about that man that I can get something like that out of. Because mm-hmm. every man can't talk to me because I can easily read the BS. Every sister can't talk to me. I can easily read the BS. But if you walking in divine, it's a certain humbleness about you. A certain humbleness about you. It's a certain spirit about you. And like a spirit's attract. And you know it. So, again, you on BIB Radio, sister. And we love that you here. And BIB Radio, BIB Blacks in Business, BIB in every city around the USA started from the backseat of a car.
Okay, so let me interrupt here. Yeah, because it's getting kind of late. It's 6:52. Definitely want Sister Keisha to be able to say what she needs to say in the last few minutes to our listeners. They need to be able to connect with her outside of this program, which is podcasted, so you all can listen to it over and over again. Sister Keisha, we so appreciate you for coming here with us today. Now, for some last words for our listeners, please give us some last words and let them know how they can connect with you.
Wow. Okay, last words. Just go within, you know. The only way out is in.
The only way out is in. Okay, perfect.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. So how can they connect with you? If they felt so comfortable in the information that you provided today about yourself because you are so transparent, and they would like to connect with you outside of this radio program, how can they get a hold of you?
Okay, so I'm on Facebook. I have a Facebook page, and it's Movements with an S, Movements for Change, Movements, F-O-R-C-H-A-N-G-E. So it's Facebook / Movements for Change. I'm also on Instagram, and it's Movements for Change. So it's Movements _4_change. So Movements _4_change, F-O-R, not the number, but the word for, F-O-R. And Movements always has an S. And I am also on a web-based directory,
YouTube.
Psychology Today. And I'm on YouTube as well. Well, I'm on a web-based directory, which is a little bit more reputable because you get to see my profile, and I'm endorsed by Psychology Today, which is a magazine.
Okay.
And so if you go to psychologytoday.com and just put in Movements for Change, my information, phone number, any way to get in touch with me is all right there. And the best way, like you said, is YouTube. My YouTube channel is Movements for Change, Movements with an S. For Change, F-O-R-C-H-A-N-G-E. And also by my telephone number. That's also 954. Yeah, my number is everywhere. It's 954-822-3240. 954-822-3240. I offer a free 20-minute consultation.
Okay, that's important.
Yes.
That's important. That's perfect. So if you all need to connect with Sister Keisha because you liked what you heard here, if you know somebody that needs to like what they heard here, share this information with them so that they can get all that they need and definitely be a movement of change, and then also be a conduit for movements of change. Because I think as you grow, other people grow around you. So let's do this. Okay, everyone, you've been listening
to
BIB Radio. Oh, no, thank you for coming. And you are now a friend of the show. Come back anytime. We would love to create a commercial for you and play that throughout the network. And, you know, we're still waiting for you to come on and get your own program, too. And Scotty can help you with that.
I would love that.
Yes. So we definitely want to support movements of change, the movements of change in our community. So, yes, let's end the program tonight for May 11th. Thank you all. Get all the guests that have come on today. We will talk to you next Thursday at the same time. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.